Hey everybody, what's up? It's me, Dangerous ASMR, and we are back for part two of the Creator Q&A. Nightshade asks, Dear Dangerous, do you like The Legend of Zelda? And if so, would you consider making a Gerudo Woman ASMR? Yes, actually I do like The Legend of Zelda. That was something I grew up watching my brother play a lot. I was never much one to play a ton of video games when I was a kid, but I definitely like to watch them. So I grew up watching a lot of The Legend of Zelda, and definitely I would make a Gerudo Woman ASMR, but I would make most ASMRs if they just appealed to me. I have low bars of entry like that. Prima Donna Kath asks, ASMR-related question. How much time does the whole process typically take for you to produce one audio, including writing, recording, and editing? I'm sure it varies, but is there an approximate? For fun question, if you were only allowed to drink one alcoholic beverage for the rest of your life, what would it be? That's really tough. Only one for the rest of my life? I mean, does it have to fall under, like, one category? Or is it, like, exactly when? Like, for example, if I said, okay, vodka, would it have to be a specific kind? Or could I, like, have every single flavor, you know? But if it's only one, probably just red wine. I find that one is something that I can relax with a lot. But if it was a spirit, it would be vodka. But I find I drink more wine, like, casually than I drink cocktails. For the ASMR, if I'm editing, let's say, like, a Drunken Dangerous, that doesn't take very long at all. But if I'm editing, like, let's say, a binaural erotic audio, that's a lot longer. And also, like, with Drunken Dangerous, there's really no scripting. That's just entirely off the cuff. Okay. Like, on the typical audio that you would listen to on my channel, scripting, recording, and editing, I'm going to say maybe 10 hours, 8 to 10 hours, possibly less, possibly more. But I would say that's on average if you're including writing, because I don't usually time myself. But I would say overall, probably, yeah, 8 to 10 hours. Snubbirth asks, what is the most horrible thing you laughed at but felt that you shouldn't have? Okay, so you can't tell my mom I'm sharing this story because she felt really bad. The fact that she felt terrible was the funniest thing ever. And it was because, okay, here's what happened. My mom and I were out doing whatever, and this guy, like, turned the corner and started walking ahead of us, and it looked like he stumbled, and it looked kind of funny the way that he kind of stumbled and caught himself. And so then my mom, like, where he couldn't see, quietly just kind of, like, pretended to stumble too, and, like, I was laughing at it, and she was laughing, like, haha, you know, like, this guy tripped, which happens to everybody. I've tripped, you know, feel free to make fun of me if you see me stumble. However, it quickly became apparent that he did not stumble like a regular able-bodied individual. This poor man had some kind of physical disability, and my mom had just made fun of him. And then the second she realized he was disabled, she gasped. And the horror on her face when she realized what she had done, it was the most beautiful thing, and I just couldn't help but burst out laughing. But I would say my original laughter at what was basically someone's physical disability, although I didn't know it at the time, the fact that my mom targeted that poor man, a sick, horrible woman, that would probably be the moment, yeah. Steven as MovieBuff 3000 asks, hey DA, I have three questions. What are some of your favorite lines from Troll 2? In your busy schedule, are you still able to or have interest in playing video games? And what are your favorite video games? And what is an audio of yours that you would consider underrated? All of them. All of them are underrated. They're all masterpieces. each and every one. Honestly, I don't know if I could... How do I answer that without sounding like a narcissistic prick? Because, you know, by and large, I feel like most people will overrate an audio. Because when I'm listening to it, I'll hear all the stuff that I could have done better. So I don't know if that I have an audio that I consider underrated. I mean, I'm sure individually there are some people that don't appreciate audios as much as I do. But usually the response that I get tends to be fairly positive. So I can't really think of one. Anyone you dislike, you're wrong. It was amazing. I guess that's the best answer. With video games, Zombies Ate My Neighbors. That one is so good. That game is so much fun. It was made by LucasArts. It's got like 100 levels. It's incredibly difficult to try to get all the way through, and I never have. But when I was 10, I loved playing it with my brother. Like, I would play the girl, and he would play the boy, and it was like the one game that we could play cooperatively that we weren't like fighting each other constantly. That's like one of the really positive moments that I remember from my childhood, especially when dealing with my brother, because like, come on, older siblings, it was constant fighting, except for when we were playing Zombies Ate My Neighbors, so it was probably that one. And my favorite lines from Troll 2, oh God, they ate her, and then they're going to eat me. Oh my God. That one is classic. Also, when the dad's like, you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it, to his son, because his son just pissed all over the food. That was pretty great. Or when he said that he was tightening his belt to prevent hunger pangs. Anyway, if you haven't seen Trolls 2, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but that movie is such trash and it's beautiful. I'm sorry, Troll 2. I think Trolls 2 is the animated. You want Troll 2? Nothing to do with trolls, by the way. They're goblins. Definitely should watch it, though. Jerry Chen asks, if anyone ever recognized your voice in public, would you greet them or pretend you aren't yourself? Oh, really depends on the person, I guess. What kind of vibe are they giving me? And also, how do I look today? Like, okay, honestly, if I'm looking like shit and someone recognizes me in public and, like, I just came to grab something from the store and I'm in like sweats, I might be like, who? I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know who that is. But maybe if like you run into me and I'm like dolled up, I'm looking pretty hot, I'd be like, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably just shit my pants. I have no idea how I would deal with that. It's never happened. And I honestly don't know how I'd react if it did. If it's me, you'd probably know because I'd be a deer in the headlights and I'd immediately start cold sweating just all over the place. Michael M. Nugent asks, did you think that you would learn new skills involving audio production when you started ASMR? What are some of the audio production skills / knowledge that captivated you to learn more or to better improve your productions and or sound quality? I feel like when I started, I was focused less on what am I going to be able to learn during this? And what do I have to do to make my audio sound better? You know, it was less about the learning process and more about necessity for me. And so a lot of learning has just come from that. It's come out of necessity. Not that learning it wasn't also really fun. And I feel like mostly my enjoyment of audio editing has come over time. When I first started doing it and I didn't understand anything and I was trying to teach myself along the way while also publishing audios, it was really stressful because I felt like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. This is hard. This is confusing. What does this mean? You know, or like, why can't I do what I need it to do? Like, brain work this hard because I'd never done audio stuff before. So I was working with this entirely new medium. Now, when it comes to your second question, I feel like what really motivated me to learn more was just being able to improve my audios. It really kind of sparked that curiosity in me of what more can I learn? How can I make this more immersive? And just the desire to make audios that really feel real is what drove me to want to create more. And then just that satisfying feeling of getting an audio out there and making it sound like exactly like you wanted it to, especially when you're using, you know, when you're doing Foley work and you're using things to make sounds for things that don't exist, and you can kind of layer it and put it together and edit it until it fucking sounds like the thing it's supposed to. That's such a satisfying feeling. And it was one that in the beginning I didn't have at all. In the beginning, I was doing sound editing off an app on my phone. And that is a hell I would wish on no one. But as long as you have like the proper equipment, it's a blast. It can, I would recommend it for anybody that's interested. Play around. Audacity is free. It's the bar of entry for teaching yourself is extremely low for most people now with our access to technology. And that's one of the really cool things about ASMR and role plays in general. If you have a passion for it, it's something that you don't need to invest a ton of money to do properly. You know, it's something that just the layman can access. And I really honestly do feel like if I can do it, if I can learn to edit audios, then anyone can. Douglas asks, hello, I love anything on Succubus, and I wish you can make a dark, wicked, vicious Succubus story or series, and 20 minutes is short. I would like to sleep on a longer story. Well, Douglas, I can't honestly tell you what the future holds, you know? Maybe I will do a longer story. I've been doing some longer ones lately. But alas, I do have many audios that I have to work on over the week, so sometimes making longer ones can be a bit time prohibitive, but in the future, I will make a longer, dark, wicked, vicious succubus story just for you, Douglas. Tater Tot asks, 1, how did you find an audience when you started out as a VA? 2, when is your birthday, if I may ask? Not age, just birthday. I know you probably won't reply to this one since you never brought it up before, but I thought I'd ask just in case. My birthday is in September. So in the month of September, you can all say, happy birth month, Dangerous, and I will say thank you. Probably, or I might not reply. Sometimes I get really busy and I don't reply, and it's not because I don't care. So please don't think it's because I don't care. I just get email shy. Does anybody ever get like the email nervousness, like email anxiety or whatever it's called? I think it's because it's one of those tasks that's never over. You know, there's never an end point because as soon as you answer the emails, then there's more and more and more and more, and it's never ending. So that's my excuse. Anyway, yeah, birthday, September. I'm sorry, I'm getting confused. This is what happens when I answer off the cuff without writing anything down. How did I find an audience when I started out? That's a good question. I didn't. I feel like the audience found me. All I did was I just started putting out audios. That's it. I just released it, and then the algorithm would bring people to my audios, and then they clicked, and they listened, and then they liked it. And that was it. Like, I looked into how to kind of advertise yourself, but I don't like advertising myself. I get very, like, I feel bad, you know? Like, I'm like, I want you to listen, but don't feel obligated. Like, I'd love you to subscribe, but you really don't have to. Like, I would be a really bad salesperson. I'd be the worst salesperson. So yeah, all I did was just put my content out there. I feel like if it's something where you're really passionate about it and you're consistent, consistency is really the biggest thing. If you're consistent and you just keep uploading, so many people come and go with ASMR and role plays. If you can just be there and continue producing quality work, people will find you. You know, I mean, I could have tried to play the algorithm more or advertise more, and I might have more subscribers than I have now. But not having to worry about that is such a peace of mind for me, you know? Plus, I get to avoid that whole, like, salesperson thing, which I always feel so weird about that. But yeah, just put yourself out there. Try to use words in your titles that will be triggered by people's searches, you know, which can be unfortunate because sometimes I just want to give a story a title instead of like blanked by a blank, but nobody's going to be looking for the title. They're going to be looking for the keywords. So if you're making an audio, try to keep that in mind. But otherwise, yeah, I'm really bad at networking, so I'm probably not the best person to ask. Kelly Dusty asks, what is something you are passionate about? Other than role plays, cooking. I am a passionate cook. It's something that I love. I'm such a foodie. And I hate that word, but if there is somebody that is that thing, that's me. I love to cook. I cook every day if I can. I spend way more on food than I should, more than anything else. It's like some people like clothes or cars, and I just like food and recipes and making new recipes and cooking and baking for friends. It's just like one of the most fun things ever. It's kind of like painting, you know, just like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And it's also really nice because you can, you know, bake or cook for people that you care about. And it's kind of like a little personalized kind of touch on gift giving that's everybody really appreciates it. And I don't know, it's just, it's fun and useful. And I could talk about it all day. You don't want me to talk about it all day. Dangerous as Freya asks, do you love Pusheens? If so, how many Pusheens do you have? You know I love Pusheens. I do. Too much. Oh my God. Okay, so deep down inside Dangerous ASMR, there's a little Dangerous ASMR that loves kittens and fluffy things. And so Pusheen, I kind of love Pusheen. It's so cute. And I have, actually went around and I counted. I have about 30 different Pusheen things in my house. Plush figures, plastic figures. I have a pop socket, a wall hanging, a coffee cup, a bowl. Like, I like cats. I've got a hoodie. Oh God, no, it's more than 30. I wasn't thinking about the clothes items. Okay. Probably like 35. Thinking about it. A lot. It's a lot. Please don't judge me. Ian asks, which character requires the least acting? In other words, which one is DA most like? The MILF ones seem really natural for you, and the condescending secretary, whom I adore, seem to me to be closest. Honestly, I would say the one that requires the least acting would be the dom girlfriend, or when I'm any kind of comforting audio. I just say the stuff that I would say to a friend or a partner in that kind of scenario. For me, it's just, I basically feel like I'm playing myself when I play the dom girlfriend, to be perfectly honest. So for me, it doesn't even feel like acting. Just, it feels like giving advice or talking to somebody I care about. You know, for me, but yeah, condescending secretary, now I will say, when I'm feeling like a bitch, that's the best time that I should be recording the condescending secretary, because I do see the similarities there. Quintana Florent asks, your channel is called Dangerous ASMR, so sometimes you bring some heavy topics in your audios and videos. Isn't it too hard sometimes for yourself? If so, how do you handle such moments? For me, when things are kind of heavy in an audio, I try to focus on how it serves the story, how it serves the characters, less about, you know, the implications of those things were they to actually happen. A lot of times, getting lost in the emotion that a character would feel in the moment really helps my performance. But sometimes afterward, if a script is particularly hard emotionally or like sad, it does take me some time to get out of that like mindset. But what really helps is just reminding myself that it's all fiction, and sometimes they're necessary to tell the story that you want to. Quantum Strike asks, have you done any form of vocal training? Do you do any warm-ups to get into character, or does it come naturally? Would you ever consider releasing a collection of songs from your ASMR? As far as vocal training, the only vocal training I've ever done was choir when I was in middle school and high school. To get into character, I'll usually go over the script once in its entirety, acting it out. And I find by the second run, I've really kind of refined how I want to go into the lines. There's a lot less stuttering and stops and rethinking how I want to speak it. So the second take is definitely like a cleaner take anyway. I don't even always record the first ones. And a collection of songs from my ASMR, I suppose. Sure, I mean, music is definitely something I want to release in the future. But yeah, definitely. Like, I think it'd be a lot of fun. All right, well, thank you guys so much for listening. And I will be here next week with more answers to your questions. All right, I love you guys, and I will talk to you then. Bye. Mwah.